Sorry for being crazy.
My kid just ran by me and he said, "All right, Dad, do good." I hope that was encouraging. I'm hoping that was encouraging. That felt encouraging. I'm going to take it as encouragement. So I'm Justin. If I've not had an opportunity to meet you, please come find me. I would love to meet you after service this evening. Sorry for calling the audible on the extended time of worship. I think coming out of last week, coming out of the week that we have had, like, Spirit, we need you here. We cannot do this on our own, and I don't think it is any coincidence that it was laid upon my heart to talk about Psalms 46 tonight, because we're going to talk about God being our refuge and our strength. We have been through it this past couple weeks as a church. We've been through it this last couple months as a community, and I just pray that God uses this time tonight that we can learn more about him, about who he is, about the commandments he asks of us, and the place that he says that we can run and hide to and in, and that is him. So we're going to be in Psalms 46 tonight. I would love for us to pray and just jump in. I know we've prayed a lot, but God, we thank you for who you are. God, we thank you so much for your word, for how you challenge us and how you speak truths to us in your word. So, Father, I just pray tonight that we see your word. God, I can get out of the way for your word to seed in our hearts. God, we love you and we thank you. It's in your name we pray. Amen. All right, Psalms 46. I would love to nerd out for just a second on Psalms 46, okay? I know, like, Steve, Walter, Mark, I know I got a couple guys in my corner that are going to be okay with the nerd out for just a second. So if you have your digital copy or your paper copy, a couple just really fun things about this psalm, okay? So verse 1, God is our refuge and strength. We're going to label that A. Flip down to verse 11, the Lord Almighty is with us. The God of Jacob is our fortress, A. Okay, God is our refuge, God is our fortress. They're bookended. Go to B. Okay, verse 2, therefore we will not fear. The contrast to that is in verse 10, be still. Verse 3, see, still, though the waters roar and they foam and the mountains quake with their surging, he's talking about the rule over the natural. We flip down to verse 8, and he talks about the desolations that he has brought upon the earth and making the wars cease. He's talking about his rule over the political calamities. This is a pyramid, guys. A, B, C. We're going to build up to E and come back down the other side. D, God is with her in verse 5. Go to verse 7. The Lord Almighty is with us. 6, the nations are in uproar. Kingdoms will fall. The nations will rage, E. But he lifts his voice and the earth melts. God speaks, E. This is a... Again, it's a mountain. We're going to be going through this tonight. That's kind of my nerd out on that. But I really loved, I had some slides that they just didn't work out. But we can nerd out. So you can pick little letters in your Bible, but there is a shape to this. So Psalm 46, it is a hymn. It is a celebrating hymn of Zion, okay? That's the city in which God has blessed through his presence. The structure of it is two stanzas and a refrain. It was intended to be sung with the instruments in the time of worship. You can also break this hymn into two parts. Verses 1 through 6 are more a profession of faith, with verses 8 through 10 as the supporting facts for the profession of faith. And there are some scholars that suggest that Psalms 46, 47, and 48 were part of a drama enacted in the temple to celebrate the Lord's kingship over all the earth. I'm done nerding out for this evening. Okay, thank you for just appeasing me on that. And I know Steve is still putting letters in his Bible. And it's okay. It's fine. You got the notes? All right. I really wanted you guys to have the diagram, but I realized it was a little lackluster without it. So I would love to read this, and then let's jump in. If you'll turn and read with me together. Psalm 46. God is our refuge and strength, an ever-present help in the trouble. Therefore, we will not fear, though the earth give way and the mountains fall into the heart of the sea, though its waters roar and foam and the mountains quake with their surging. There is a river whose streams make glad the city of God, the holy place where the Most High dwells. God is with her, and she will not fall. God will help her at the break of day. Nations are in uproar. Kingdoms fall. He lifts his voice. The earth melts. The Lord Almighty is with us. The God of Jacob is our fortress. Come and see what the Lord has done, the desolations that he has brought on the earth. He makes wars cease to the ends of the earth. He breaks the bow and he shatters the spear. He burns the shields with fire. He says, be still and know that I am God. I will be exalted among the nations. I will be exalted in the earth. The Lord Almighty is with us. The God of Jacob is our fortress. So we're going to break this apart into three sections this evening. We're going to look through verses 1 through 3, 4 through 7, and then 8 through 11. So primarily for this first little bit, I'm going to be in 1 through 3. If you want to highlight it, that's kind of where we're going to be. God is our refuge and our strength. Say this with me. God is our refuge and our strength. All right, but let's say it again like this. God is my refuge and my strength. So I think that's huge because notice we didn't say that I am my refuge, I am my strength. We could have said I am, but we can't say I. We are not able to provide ourselves refuge. We are not able to provide ourselves our own strength. It is God who provides these for us. See, the psalm starts out with such a good, incredible truth, and we really can't go anywhere else from that. It is he who is my refuge, he who is my strength. He is our refuge, our strength. That is something that I feel like we need reminded of every day. He is our refuge, he is our strength. Psalm 9 says that the Lord, Psalm 9:9 says the Lord is a refuge for the oppressed, a stronghold in times of trouble. God then becomes my stronghold in times of trouble. He becomes my safe, my trusted place. I don't really think we really don't need anything else. I mean, we had amazing worship. We got to sing to God. We learned two truths. I think we can just call it and go home. I don't need to read the rest of this. So God's word is enough. But let's go ahead. But seriously, here's my question for you guys. Do we know that? Do we live like that? Do we live like we know? Do we face the battles? Do we face the storms in our life like we know that God is our refuge, the safe place that we can go, and our strength and our weakness, that he is the thing that provides us what we need? Do we really know that, and do we really live like that? Do we live in that headspace? See, if we go back to verse 1, it ends like this: an ever-present help in trouble. It is Wednesday evening. Raise your hand or nod your head if you're like me. I'm not a hand raiser. If you've experienced any trouble or any storm today, I'm going to raise my hand for the sake of this, okay? Goes against my being, but I'm doing it. All right. There wasn't many hands that went up. What about the last 2 days? What about the last week? Right? So there is no version where we don't have this. Now, my biggest pitfall, how many of us have tried to do it on our own? How many of us have tried to handle those storms, those deficits, all those battles on our own? Did it work out well? Sometimes yes, sometimes no. But see, he is our refuge. He is our strength. We can't do it on our own capacity. If we really live and know and look at day to day like he is our refuge and our strength, he is ever present, it will change the way that we literally respond to everything and all of it. And that is my Nate Bargatze quote for the evening. My wife is so proud. He is present truly in everything that we are afflicted with. He is our refuge, he is our strength. He is ever present. Let's pick up in verse 2. Therefore, we will not fear, though the earth give way and the mountains fall into the heart of the sea, though its waters roar and foam and the mountains quake with their surging. We'll stop right there. See, the psalmist here writes about some of the largest physical events that will help us draw a comparison to the kingdoms in our lives and back then that become shaky, and the nations that fall to sin and they fall to rage and they fall to war. Think anything that is earth-altering, catastrophic, where the earthquakes, where the mountains themselves are being moved into the sea and the waters of the seas are roaring and they're foaming. Think this is the roughest sea that you can ever imagine, and there is nothing but chaos and absolute devastation and fear that surrounds. But yet he chooses to start verse 2 with these words, therefore, we will not fear. I have to sit with that for just a second. Like, what do you mean we should not fear? Like, I mean, I feel the earth is moving under my feet in a manner that will carry the mountains into the ocean. Or I'm in a boat and the waves are crashing around me. They're roaring. The sea foam is coming up and it's billowing. And he says, therefore, we will not fear. See, it's because my head is not set right. We can't help but to live in a place of fear if our starting place is anything other than because God is our refuge and our strength. Ever present. That is why we will not fear. It has to be our starting place. It has to be our starting place. There was an earthquake this past week, which is something that does not happen super often around here, at least at the magnitude in which it did in this region. And if you were on social media, you know it created a little bit of fear. You know it created a little bit of uncertainty for folks. But that's a physical disaster. That's a natural disaster, right? We talked about last week and we'll talk about in the weeks to come, and especially in our staff meeting, like we have other storms. We have other things that are happening in our church and in our communities. We've had people lose loved ones. We've had people diagnosed with horrific medical things. We have people that have lost jobs. We have people that have lost friends and mentors. We have catastrophe that has happened. Those are the storms that we most often face in life. Those are the uncertainties, the dark, tough, ugly places. And God's truth to us is what? Do not fear. I am your refuge. I am your strength. We can't understand do not fear if we don't understand why we don't have to fear. The reason we don't have to fear is because God is truly our refuge and our strength. See, more often than not, myself included, I feel like we are more like the disciples in the boat in Matthew 8. I think it's 24, 25, 26. They're taking the boat across and the storm is raging. The waters are moving. The winds are howling. They're blowing. And it says the disciples went and woke up Jesus, who was sleeping in the bottom of the boat. And they're saying, Lord, save us. We are getting ready to drown. And I have to believe there was so much compassion in Jesus' eyes that I wish I could mirror a little bit when I was woken up like that. But he says, guys, why are you of such little faith? Why are you so afraid? The verse goes on to say, then he got up and he rebuked the wind and the waves, and it was completely calm. We cannot have a starting place of fear, but we have to have that starting place of the Lord is my refuge and my strength. A couple things we can take from this first section. God is our refuge to hide in when we face our storms. He is our strength that is capable of bearing our trials. And he is the help that is always at the ready. We are absolutely secure in God, even in the most chaotic of times. Absolutely secure in God, even in the most chaotic of times. How many of you have the word Selah at the end of your Bibles or text? Okay? I had to look up what that meant. I had a general idea what it meant, but I had to look it up. I wanted to know what the actual Hebrew word means. There's a couple different ways it can be interpreted, but essentially it means pause and reflect. I don't think there is a way that we can get through this first section without pausing and reflecting and saying, God, in my life, do I look at you like you are my refuge and my place to hide in? Do I assess my position in my heart and say, God, I know that you are my strength and my ability to bear the trials that I'm facing. And God, forgive me because I don't always look to you as the help that is at my ready. That could just be me. But I need to learn to live in the security that God is present with me even in the most chaotic of times. We pause, we reflect. Moving on to verse 4. I'm going to title this section, Peace Like a River. It says, there is a river whose streams make glad the city of God, the holy place where the Most High dwells. God is within her, and she will not fall. God will help her at break of day. The nations are in uproar, and the kingdoms fall. He lifts his voice, the earth melts. The Lord Almighty is with us. The God of Jacob is our fortress. See, in these verses, we see a complete and utter contrast to the opening. We see a full 180 to the prior lines. The rivers whose streams make glad. He is the water. It is he. It is his living water. It is God's favor carried throughout. Doing what? Feeding and nourishing as it goes. Peace and calmness versus moving mountains and a raging sea. When we're thinking about in those reflection times, do we want the mountains that are sliding under our feet into the ocean, the turbulence of the waves, or do we want the peace and calmness? Because if it's the peace and calmness, guys, God is offering that. What we're seeing is a description of Zion, the permanent dwelling of the Most High, the city of God, where he chooses to dwell in a place that shall not be moved, as it says in the ESV, where she will not fall, as we read in the NIV. See, there is no earthquake or raging sea that will ever shake or even startle God's dwelling place. It shall not fall or be moved. The same is for us when we are in God, when we face the terrible things that we've all experienced in our own lives, in our own walks recently. We don't have to be moved. Our starting place is this. God is our stronghold, our refuge, our strength, ever present. We no longer have fear of the earthquake, the raging sea, the medical diagnosis, the loss of a loved one, the loss of a job, because we have refuge in the fortress of peace and calmness with God in the midst. Verse 6, the nations are in uproar and the kingdoms are falling. He lifts his voice and the earth melts. Remember, he is comparing Zion to the world and the chaos that is surrounding Zion. And he says, he speaks and the storms, the battles are gone. Remember in Matthew 8, it said he spoke and he rebuked the wind and the waves and everything was completely calm. His voice is truly enough. But my question is, are we listening for it when we are in the storms of our lives? Are we listening for his voice in the storms of our lives? See, God's city, it will not fall. He chose to dwell there. He chose to take up residence, and he's not leaving. He's not leaving from us either. We have to live like that. He speaks. His voice is truly enough, and there is peace and calmness that follows that. He comes at the ready in the most critical of moments to our sides in the storms. At the break of the morning light, God has already gone forth, his hand outstretched. We talked about the right hand in Psalm 16. God is already there. He's never late. He's never distant. He's always present, and he is always on time. Truce. Verse 7, the Lord Almighty is with us. The God of Jacob is our fortress. If you have your phone or your Bible, the Lord of hosts is with us. Underline that. Bold it, square it in, do something with that. The Lord of hosts is with us. He is on our side, y'all. His presence draws fear to the enemy, and we must proclaim that fear has what? It has no hold on us. God is the absolute best teammate that we could ever have. That is the guy you want on your team. You may have been like me. You may have got picked last for pickleball, because if you see me play, it's not great. Dodgeball. I can run, but I'm not the fastest. And my son beats me in golf, so he chooses not to choose me as his golf partner, but he does sometimes. But I mean, if that's who you're looking for as man, you're going to be disappointed. But if we look to God as our teammate, there is no disappointment in that. See, the battle that we are fighting when he is on our side, and it says he is with us, means that the contest is a big old fat nothing. There is no contest. There is no equal. It's already won. The commander of heaven's armies is with us. Our side, our team. Just like when Elijah goes out and he prays for his servant's eyes to be opened, that he could see the army that is with them. We get to experience that. We rest in the assurance that God can and will defend his church and his people from the storms of life. How often are we facing the battles, the storms in our life, the consequences, the things that come up with the confidence that God truly is on our team and that he really is our refuge, which we can run, and the strength that we have in our weakness. And then it says again, Selah, right? Take a moment, pause, and reflect. Are we really facing life with the confidence that God is truly on our team? Verses 8 through 11, come and see. Come and see what the Lord has done. The desolations that he has brought on the earth, he makes wars cease to the ends of the earth. He breaks the bow and he shatters the spear. He burns the shields with fire. He says, be still and know that I am God. I will be exalted among the nations. I will be exalted in the earth. The Lord Almighty is with us. The God of Jacob is our fortress. I call that come and see. Come and see. See, the psalmist is asking us to look at the example of what God has done. Look at God's works. Come and see what the Lord has done. I love my son dearly. He said, do good. So, you know, I was like, okay, thanks, do good. But when he was little, after he did anything, Daddy, come see what I have done. I did say when he was little, but he did it earlier today. So that has not really grown out. But what would it look like if we kind of thought the same? Daddy, come look and see what we've done. But the psalmist is the same here. Come and see what the Lord has done. He said that because he wants to draw our attention to his good works, his promises, his good works. He's here, he's saying the same thing. The creator, the conqueror of it all. Come and see what the Lord has done. I shall not boast but in the name of Jesus. Come and see what he has done. Must be something we need to see and pay a close attention to. It says the desolations that he has brought upon the earth. Come and see the defeats of the enemies that God has faced. There is no match for him. There is no equal. There is no rival. He shall not lose. He's already settled the disputes among the people then and now. And he makes wars to cease to the ends of the earth. It says he breaks the bow, which in context here is a symbol of strength. He breaks the bow. You don't need it. He shatters the spears. You don't need it. He burns the shields to protect yourself. You don't need it. He's saying you will no longer need them. Bow, spear, shield. Isaiah 2:4 says, they won't even train for war anymore, much less have use for the tools or war, because they have confidence in knowing that he is our refuge and our strength. We don't have to go to battle on our own again. We have the Lord on our side, the commander of heaven's armies. And then verse 10. He commands us in verse 10, and it's a command. It says, he says, but it's a command. Be still and know that I am God. I will be exalted among the nations. I will be exalted in the earth. Be still. Another way you can look at it is release. Another way is let it go. I am over it all. Know that I am God. Be still. Think backwards. Think to our verses from earlier. The earth is quaking. The seas are roaring. Here now, we are losing our family members. We are losing jobs. We're getting terminal medical diagnoses, and we are facing storms in our communities and in our families. And his command to us is be still. Release it. Give it to me. Let it go. Why? Because I am over it all. God is commanding his forces, his peoples, to stop trying. You can't do it. He's saying, I am bigger than the chaos. I am bigger than the storms. I am bigger than the problems, bigger than whatever you're facing. But how and why? Come and see. Know that I am God. Come and see the great I am. Come and see what I have done for you, Israel, and what I will do for you now. Come and see. Come and see. Come and see. But in order to do that, you must be still. You must release the things that you're holding on to, and you must let them go. You have to stop striving. I felt like he's speaking to me in that moment. Like, you have to stop trying. You have to stop trying to work and work that problem or face that diagnosis alone. Let it go. Let me handle it. Know that I am God. God is speaking this over all of the nations. It is a plural verb here. It's for all of us, then and now. I will be exalted among the nations. I will be exalted in all the earth. He's saying, I am over it all. I speak, my word alone causes the earth to melt. The forces that will rage against you, the enemies will dissolve. There is no need for weapons. You have me. You have me as your refuge. You have me as your strength. Take off your armor, put on mine. You won't need it anymore. You need my word. My word. Rest in me, rest in my ways. The whole earth shall reflect the light of his majesty when we do that. We have to know the creator, the source of refuge and of strength. And in confidence, we turn it all over to him because of his sovereignty. Guys, if I've learned anything this week, it is stop trying it on your own. God truly has control. There is nothing that surprises him, nothing that he's just, oh, by the way, learning about. There is no breaking news for him. We can't strive for it. We can't control it. We must learn to trust in the fortress and the refuge and the strength and God's promise. Are we being still with God? Are we being still with God? Are we giving these things over to him? Are we listening for his voice? Are we living like he is our refuge and our strength? Worship team, you guys can come on back up. We truly do live in a world filled with turmoil. We live in a world where horrific diagnoses are given every day, where we find out we owe a ton of money and we lose our jobs. We find out that our best friends were just injured, hurt, or killed. We find out that countries are against each other. We find out that we as men and women just can't do it on our own. And when we get to that point, we have no choice but to look up. We can't look within. It's not in us. It's not our capability. It's not our capacity. God is. God is our refuge. God is our strength. He is ever present. He's willing, and his desire is to work. The psalmist says, come and see. Come and see what he's already done. Have confidence in what he has done. Have confidence in who he is and how we got there. Love to go into a time of prayer and worship. If you'll bow your heads. Spirit, we asked for your presence this evening. God, we know there has been just some absolute wild things going on. And yet in that, we truly do have confidence in who you are. We truly do have confidence that we know that we can run to you, that we can seek refuge in you. God, that when we fall and we have nothing left, you say, I've got it. I have strength, I have a desire, I have a willingness. Child, just turn to me. God, you ask of us to be still, to let it go. Jesus, I pray if there's things in this room that we're holding, that you would allow us to let them go and give them to you. God, we understand that we can't carry the weights, we cannot carry the burdens alone. And God, we thank you for your word, the promise that says that you're there, you're willing, it is your desire. Spirit, would you just keep moving in this place? Would you keep moving in these people? Would you help us grow in our confidence of you and your word? God, if there's people in here that are hurting, would you just show them the safety of your arms? We love you. It's in your name we pray. Amen. Would you stand and worship?